This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Our next guest is Vivian Kitson, who works for a charity called Changing Faces. Welcome, Vivian. Before we come on to talk about some of the amazing work you're currently doing, can you just tell the listeners a little bit about your background, what you've done before?
Right, okay. I've done various things. I'm a bookkeeper by profession, and I've worked at various companies in kind of the Surbiton area when I was growing up. Also worked at the Princess Alice Hospice for 5 years until I got too old. apart from that, I'm a widow. I was married for 47 years and I've lived in Claygate for all of those years.
So how did you get involved in the charity?
I did the makeup for the local operatic society, Hinchley Manor Operatic Society, and while I was in hospital, I talked to somebody who said she was a skin camouflage person, and I said, I'd like to do that. That would be great. Do me something to do. So I found out that the Red Cross were training people. So I trotted along to the Red Cross and said, please, could I be a skin camouflage person?
And how long ago was that?
That was in 2004.
So quite a long time.
Wow. Well, no, actually, it was 2002. In 2000, I had to prove that I was a good volunteer. So I did something called therapeutic care, which was I went into the local hospital in Leatherhead and did people's fingernails for them, hand and arm massage, shoulders and neck. Men's ward, ladies' ward. The ladies, of course, wanted nail varnish, which I kept doing. And then after showing that I was a good volunteer, they told me I could shadow somebody. So then I started shadowing friends, what became great friends, actually, at Leatherhead, Aldershot and St Peter's.
Doing the skin camouflage.
So
how long did the training take then?
So I did that for about 18 months, and then they told me, no, that was just shadowing.
Okay,
I didn't touch anybody or do anything. That was just seeing how they did. Then in June 2014, they said, we've got a course going. So off I trotted to Woking, and we did a three-day course. The course, if you go through the British Association of Skin Camouflage, is roughly £6,000. So I was very lucky that this was paid for me.
It's amazing.
That's the reason why. And the kit I've got is worth quite a few £100s, which is quite heavy as well to carry around. But
this is different makeup than you would just use for, say, dramatic TV or whatever.
One is a TV type makeup.
Okay.
It's from a firm in Covent Garden. And the other three that we use now are made specially for skin camouflage. They've got beeswax, lanolin, and a factor 15 in them, and of course a pigmentation colour.
And so is it designed to cover, I don't know, scars or birthmarks, etc., for, you know, just for the day, or, you know, what's the sort of timeline behind
it? Right. On your face, of course, we would say it has to come off each night.
Okay.
But if it's on the body, then you leave it on till it wears off.
Right,
so consequently, and it is waterproof to a certain extent if you follow the guidelines, which is cream and then powder. And the powder is a secret. It locks it,
doesn't it?
Yeah. Sets it.
Right.
So what happens then, Vivian? Do they buy the cream from someone and you show them how to put it on?
No, they come to me. It starts off with, I get a referral from Changing Faces. I book my own clinic at St Peter's, and I offer them a time slot, and they come, and I've laid out all the different colours that I've got, and you look at somebody and you say, right, their skin tone is pink or yellow, and you then kind of go through your creams, and I put it on a spatula, usually put three colours on the spatula to start off with that I think are nearest, hold it up against wherever the point is that they need to be camouflaged, and then try the cream on the actual skin.
So would they contact you if it's a special occasion? Because obviously the reason I'm saying that is if it lasts 24 hours or if it lasts until they go to bed and they're taking it off, presumably the next day they're going to need it done again. So would it be a special occasion, or would they find out where to buy the products themselves so they could do it themselves?
Well, at the moment, if they've come through a hospital, then they more than likely, I give everybody a prescription, but it depends on your doctor whether or not he can prescribe it now.
Because I can envisage the results being so amazing
that
you, then the next day you want it all the, time, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, this is the whole thing. So you hope that they will use it the whole time because that will give them confidence. Although, of course, changing faces is into the disfigurement psychology. They like to see people and help them if they have a problem. That's part of their remit.
So I suppose it's very much down to the doctor whether he looks at them and thinks this is affecting them psychologically, this disfigurement, whatever it is. I guess it could be after an accident or burns or...
cancer, no.
Yeah, okay. Acid attacks even these days.
I've not seen one yet. I dread the thought. Because, I mean, that's going to be an awful lot of coverage.
But you'd want it every day, wouldn't you? So
Especially birthmarks, because I've seen the amazing results you can get with the makeup on the birthmark. You would want that every day, wouldn't you?
You would really, which is where I was wondering whether, you know, you show them what to do, as Ivana was asking.
Oh, yes.
You show them what to do and then they go away and do it.
Once I've found a colour, we take it off and they then do it.
So that's the prescription. They're going by...
No. I give them the makeup there to try.
Right.
I can't give them... I haven't got enough samples to give them anything, but I make certain that they know how to apply the creams and the powder before they leave me.
But they can't then go and get those powders and creams on prescription, or can they?
They could. They would then take the prescription to the doctor, and it's up to him whether or not he will...
He'll grant
it. Whether they will... let you have a prescription. But if not, I give them a list of where the creams are available for.
Right.
Are they quite widespread, or is they, would they have to go to, like, could they get it online and then get it sent to them?
Oh,
okay.
Yes, yes. And particularly some of them, that's what they really do. So, yes.
So for foundation, Vivian, how much are we, what would it cost them?
Roughly about £30 to £40.
That's not too bad.
For each.
It's not too
bad.
But,
I mean, as I say, you must use the powder
to set it.
Otherwise, it's like any grease. It will just wipe off your face.
I guess determining whether it's expensive or not is decided by how long it lasts. So £30 to £40 for how long does... how many uses?
The amount of cream that you use, if it's a scar, say a little scar about an inch long, would be minuscule. You take a little bit out, put it on the back of your hand, use a matchstick, take a tiny bit out, and you'd find that would more than likely cover the whole of your face.
So that could
it's
last
very
quite
thick and very, very, it needs to be warmed. So you put it on the back of your hand where you've got a pulse to soften it.
Oh, okay. Mm. So that tube or pot or whatever could last
a long time.
Quite a long time.
Yes.
Okay.
They have a shelf life of 5 years, and some people, it would be quite easily 5 years that it would last for.
Oh, right, okay.
It must be so rewarding to see the before and after results for you.
Yes, sometimes it's very rewarding.
Yeah, and they affect, you see their face when they see what you've done.
Yeah,
you know?
Sometimes it can be frustrating to find a colour, particularly with people who have kind of a nice brown, but a golden brown, because that's what they can't get in the colours, is a really nice golden colour. And, you know, you can see it, it's dull, it's grey, and that's not what you want.
No,
you want
no.
to make them, feel great about themselves. That's the kind of thing.
What a great charity, though, to do. I mean, because obviously it's not, as you say, it's not just about the camouflage makeup. Presumably it's counselling, it's a lot of other...
Yes, that is the main side
of the
charity.
It's the counselling side.
Yes.
Helping people to come to terms with, obviously, what's happened
precisely.
To them.
Precisely, yes.
And so how do people become involved in the counselling side? Do they volunteer and then they're trained, or how does it... Or they qualified counsellors already?
There's trained people.
Yeah, and they're paid, obviously they're paid through the charity.
Yes.
Wow, okay. Yeah, really rewarding.
Really rewarding.
Yeah, and I suppose, depending on what the disfigurement is, you know, it could be a birthmark that, something you've lived with all your life, so you accept it differently to something that's recent.
You've got lots of people who kind of are born with disabilities, disfigurements, and they try to help everybody with that type of thing, yes.
Okay.
It can be disastrous if you have to have, some sort of operation and it leaves you with a scar or, you, as you say, acid attacks now.
One thing I thought was quite sad when I was looking at the information on the website was the bullying for children in schools. You're thinking, you know, not only you've got to cope with this as a child yourself, but then to have to cope with bullying because of it.
Mm.
It must be so hard.
Yeah.
And isolating for that child.
Yes. I must admit I've had children, and I've had a mother who was being, her child was being bullied because she had a birthmark. I mean, you
that's
know.
That's unbelievable, isn't
so
it?
Therefore yeah. she came to me, she'd lived with it all her life, but the child being bullied.
Oh, child being really bullied sad. Because of the mother's birthmark.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's horrendous, isn't it?
Yes. Why has your mother got a dirty mark on her face?
Gosh. Yeah. And do parents or families or people that, let's say for example, someone has an acid attack or someone's has an injury and subsequently is disfigured, do the family get support? Because obviously the family are going through it as well.
I presume so, yes. I don't really get very much, you know, we when we go out for our meetings, we find out about things, but I don't actually get involved in the counselling side. That is for the psychiatrist.
Sure. Yeah.
I should imagine they probably would get, because obviously as a parent, see your child going through something like that's pretty horrendous, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think looking at the website, you don't see children under 5. Is that right?
No. No, we don't. But you see them pretty soon afterwards.
Yeah, yes. And what's the reason for that, really? That age, they're not really sort of too concerned about whatever the issue is?
It's the parent that is more concerned rather than the child.
So you think, okay, so you're possibly putting a child through something that's unnecessary for them, or?
I would say that I don't really know the answer to that one. I mean, I know that I don't get referrals for children under 5. And I notice it, you know, on all our things, that you have to see people with a guardian.
Yeah.
And everything has to be signed with a guardian and a guardian there.
Yes, everything's so protected now, isn't
it? Yes.
Which is quite right, but... Yes. Different to the old days.
Yes. But sometimes the child is not so bothered. It's the mother that's bothered or the father that's bothered by the problem. So, you know, it's, chicken and egg thing. Sometimes it's the child, but more often it's the parent that needs to kind of get their child to be perfect again, or try and cover it. So that's when psychological help comes in as well for that.
Right. I would think that's probably psychological help for the child then, that their parent is so concerned about it if it's not something that's bothering them.
Yes.
Mm. And I noticed also on the website the face transplant thing. So I'm just intrigued by that, because if you have a face transplant, do you look a different person then, because your face is totally different? I don't understand how that works.
I don't know. I didn't notice that bit myself. But I think a lot of about your face is your structure underneath, isn't it?
Yes.
So maybe it's the skin. The skin is the part that's transplanted completely, rather than I just find it amazing what they can do today.
Yeah,
they can
to help people. It's incredible the work they're doing.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't read that bit, to be honest.
So unfortunately, we've come to the end of our interview. Really, really, because I could talk to you all day. I think it's a fantastic charity, really, really worthwhile, and really, really rewarding work that you're all doing. It's brilliant. If you could give any bits of advice for anyone listening that maybe is living with a disfigurement or not knowing where to turn, what would you say to them, Vivian?
Get in touch with Changing Faces, because, they do a lot of good works.
So, Vivian, could you tell the listeners the website if they want to contact Changing Faces?
Visit changingfaces.org.uk. That will get you onto the website.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much. Thank you. So that was Vivian Kitson from Changing Faces.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.